the Juice Podcast. I'm Gwen Douglas.
And I'm Emily Harmon.
Today's episode, we are doing...
Sweet wine.
Sousa wine.
Yeah.
Cool. So, sweet wines.
Sweet wines. We've got, there's lots of different production methods for sweet wines. And I think sweet wine actually is something that many of us forget about today. I think probably sort of 10 years ago and before... It was something that was very commonplace. Many people would have sweet wine at home.
I also think it was like part of the ritual of eating, having a sweet wine, that maybe people have sort of like forgotten. I still love having a sweet wine with cheese or after with dessert.
And I think we've all sort of moved more towards like, I know that with the wines that we like, the wines I like to drink. I just thought about that.
I don't know if that was a read.
But the wines that definitely I like to drink, and you for the most part, aside from all your sort of aromatic love and peach and everything else, but I think sort of a lot of people's palates have moved towards these sort of lower alcohol, fresher wines, dry wines, that at the end of the meal, more likely to drink another bottle of sort of dry wine.
I mean, like
than
I said before, we drink a lot of reds.
Pet Nat as well,
and
at
like
the end.
Juicy reds or like smashable reds, we drink a lot. Yeah. I wonder if it is like a health conscious, like in the last few decades we've definitely like people definitely are more health conscious and like vying like staying away from sugar, so maybe is that you think
it could be that. And I just think I think it's almost become the what's trendy is that it's like it's cool to not like sweet wine. It's like the cool thing is to have dry wine. So I think there's a lot of this thing of if I order my sweet wine now, you know, like, and I think even if I was working in a restaurant today, I know the person I'd sell the sweet wine to and it'd be a more mature Well, you're basically like granny taste, distilled in a young body. But I think you know that sort of more mature gentleman that asks for a glass of pudding wine.
Oh, pudding wine!
I didn't say pudding wine or sweet wine. So I think that would be the person I would sell to, and just I think it was the more than anything the ritual and the habit of, you know. We have our starter. We have our bread and butter and our aperitif, and then we have our starter, and then we have our main, then we have our dessert. Maybe we have cheese.
Yes.
After the dessert in England.
Yes.
And we have, you know, the port, like Christmas Day is
it's
a really
true,
good
actually.
Illustration of how sort of we eat food in
also
Britain
think
anyway.
That ritual, because I remember when I first moved back to Europe, sort of 2009, that one of my friends from Luxembourg, he said, like, when Americans come or North Americans come to Europe, he was like, oh, they don't order starters. They don't know how to do it. Like, just that thing when he's like, we all order starters, we all order mains, everyone gets a dessert, we have a something after to drink while everyone chills out, and a coffee, everyone gets an espresso.
Yeah, or a tea at the end.
He's always
or
like,
a little
yeah,
like, I mean, you'd even, in England, you know, if you were sort of playing it very traditionally, glass of fizz when you first start, then you'd have a white with your starter, probably a red with your main, then you'd have your little sticky wine with your dessert, then you might have a port with your cheese, and then you might finish with like a Bailey's or a whiskey or a cognac at the end. It's like so decadent.
Yeah, I really like it.
And I think maybe that also goes hand in hand with how restaurants have become way more casual as well.
Totally.
So people are spending less time in restaurants, they're spending less money in restaurants, they want maybe just one plate of food and a bottle of wine, and or maybe they're going to share lots of food with some bottles of wine on the table.
I think also there's been that push towards, like, there are no rules, we make the rules. Like, to try and get away from the old guard that likes this. But I think it's going to then just come back the other way. You know, people are going to feel like they're missing that ceremony. And I think it's nice, like, if you have a dinner party, there's nothing more fun than, like, after dinner being like, oh, it's cheese course time, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, bringing out the cheese, like, maybe an hour after dinner, and everyone's had a bit of time to digest, or, like, I think it's nice.
Yeah. I think so, too.
So I think we should bring this back.
Yeah. I think there's a time and a place.
Let's try them first and decide.
I think there's a time and a place, and I think... Also, like, for me, my time and place for it is a replacement for a dessert. Because I actually rarely... I found, you know, I've got a huge sweet tooth.
Yeah, me too.
But I found that, like, my tolerance for it with feeling good about consuming it, it's, like, really gone down. Like, I love scones with clotted cream and jam.
Me too.
But I eat a whole one, and if I try and have any more, I start to feel really sick. And I'm like, what's going on? I used to be able to eat three of these. So I don't know if it's sometimes that... maybe it's because I've sort of isolated it so much from my diet now that when I do have her, it's like, whoa.
But I also wonder, like,
sugar hangover immediately.
I also like to do something sweet sometimes instead of dessert, but that's mostly because most desserts these days don't satisfy my sweet tooth. Because there's been this, like, since the Nordic kitchen became so big.
Fresher, herbal.
Like, Lucas recently was in Copenhagen eating somewhere, and I was in Switzerland having some delicious pastries for dessert. And I asked him, what was for dessert? I bet you had some sort of shaved ice, some berries stolen from a starving squirrel in the woods.
And something acidic.
Yeah. And he was like, yep, that's pretty much it. Like, it's usually some sort of like iced yogurt, a berry. Yeah. And
some bitters, some gammon dance. Yeah,
or some
top.
Pine needles or something. Some sort of like pine reduction. Yeah, that's not a dessert.
This is what sugar, this is what sweetness is like in the northern
climates. Yeah, it's like, no, I want like sticky, sticky toffee pudding.
Yeah, top to tan, clotted cream, my God.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Well, I think both these could be good pairings for that. But sweet wine, just before we try our wines, there are lots of different ways to make sweet wine, so I think it's good to maybe touch on those styles quickly.
I don't remember, so I'm glad someone's going to remind me.
So I think the first one that actually a lot of us are familiar with are late harvest sweet wines. So grapes that have been left on the vine longer than they would usually when they're picked for dry wine. Obviously, we want to pick them where there's the right balance of acidity and sugar, so we don't have something that's too alcoholic but also still has its lovely acidity there, so you can create a balanced dry wine.
Do these ones always, the late harvest ones, are they just very ripe? Are the ones with the noble rot a separate category?
That's a different category. All right. So late harvest would be, let's say I'm in Bordeaux and I have Sauvignon and Semillon grapes, and I decide that I'm a sweet wine producer, or I'm in the area for sweet wine. I will leave those grapes on the vine, and I will pick them later when the sugar is more concentrated. And there is a variation on this style as well. Okay. So generally, it's an unfortified style, so they stop the fermentation. Often by sulfur or chilling the wine, but almost always sulfur, to keep that natural sugar during fermentation. And then the other one would be a cordon cut, where they actually cut the little stems to the branch to the bunch, which then allow them to raisin up on the vine.
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, it's similar to drying them out, but they dry on the vine.
What is that called? What is that called when they dry them?
Are you thinking about the appassimento style?
Yes.
Where they're drying the passito style?
Yeah, passito, that's the word.
A little bit similar to that, but you're leaving it on the vine. So that if you ever see cord and cut, that's kind of what that means.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, and then so they'll sort of shrivel up and they're left there, and then you go and get them later. And then so that's one option, so the later harvest style. Okay. So we see this German Riesling, there is this style as well, like Auslese, for example, is that style. It's a later harvest. Even Spätlese is a bit of a later harvest.
But Canada loves a late harvest.
Yes. Yep. And then we have, going into Canada, it's a good segue into ice wine. Which also we see in Germany and Austria, where we leave the grapes so late on the vines. What's supposed to happen, that they freeze and you harvest the grapes at -8 degrees.
Ooh.
So what that means is that all the sugar, the water content in the grape is frozen, and then you just press them immediately and you just get the sugar outside.
So
that's one way to concentrate the sugars even more. It's ice wine. I think you can also, I'm pretty sure there's a synthetic
way to
do that. I think you can just like freeze them yourself and do it as well.
Yeah.
I don't think it's all quite as poetic as, but traditionally you're supposed to harvest them at that time. Okay. So it's usually often at night. Then we have, from there we have different styles which are fortified, like Vin du Naturel. So Port is one of these, Banyuls is one of these, where we stop the fermentation process by adding fortified, like strong spirit,
alcohol
to it. And then we fortify the wine. So yeah, they're the sort of more famous styles, sweeter styles of sherry of Vin du Naturel, technically. We have Mistels. Vin de liqueur, I think they're also known as. So that would be Mac Vin de Jura or Pinot de Charente, are those styles. So that is unfermented sweet grape juice that is fortified. So it never ferments, but it keeps all that.
Yeah, grapey.
Which is why it's so grapey. I'm personally not a huge fan of that style.
I love
style.
A bit of Mac Vin.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think with the right food, it's good.
It's really yum,
But it's not something I could sort of sip on.
No, you're not going to crack a bottle and like have a kiki with a friend. You're going to like have a bit. And pass it along.
Yeah, and have and share the bottle.
Yeah.
Exactly. Have a sip and you can
pass it along.
the parcel wrapper before you actually get to the layer you actually want. It's like, this isn't mine, it's yours.
You don't want it.
So that's that. And then, like you just asked before, the noble rot wines as well are particularly interesting. So in certain parts of the world, we have climatic conditions, usually foggy, more humid areas, where the grapes are sort of intercepted. It sounds really technical. What the hell?
I just imagine like a spaceship, like, intercept the grape. docking.
So we have a tiny sort of type of mold that grows on top of the grape or on the grape, which is called botrytis, which then pierces a hole in the skin, which allows all of the water to evaporate out, and actually
it shrivels it all up.
Shrivels up, so then you concentrate all of the acidity, the sugar, and then so you don't often always get this every year. I know that this year, 2019 in Germany, I know in the Mosel there has been conditions for botrytis, so there will be, you know, beer and season wines. So I think, that would be one style that's particularly interesting. So if you see noble rot on there, call it noble rot because it is a type of mold
and
rot,
it
has a really good
delicious flavour.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of the rot. I mean, that's essentially cheese too, so like, don't be afraid of those.
Yes, exactly. Delicious. Exactly. So they're the sort of main categories for sweet wine. And then we do have, that is one thing that we've just missed out, even though we just touched on it, is the other part of drying the grapes out after you harvest them. So something we see with Pedro Ximenez, Moscatel Sherry, certain parts of the world like Vinsanto as well, laying the grapes out on straw mats or whatever to allow them to shrivel again. It's all about
concentrating it
increasing sugar, concentrating sugar.
And I guess, like, when they lay down on straw, does the straw, do you think, pull moisture out or just, like, helps keep movement through?
Yes, to stop them rotting, essentially.
So do they not sit on something?
Yeah, totally. And really, with those wines often that have been kept out on straw mats, you get a darker colour because the grapes are in the sun. Yes. So the skin takes a darker colour as well. That's why PX has got that dark colour. Really, it's got nothing to do with it being made from a red grape or a black grape. It's just a white grape that darkens whilst it's in the sun, which gives the wine almost a black brown colour.
Tan.
So that's the sort of main production styles. We should start with wine.
Yeah, what did we bring today? So
I think we should start with yours because actually it's less sweet than mine.
So I haven't had this before. It is Austrian. So we have DM Grüne Veltliner Berin Auslese 2011. Süße Prädikatswein.
Yes. So this doesn't have any noble rot. I think it's just Trockenbier and Auslese for noble rot, isn't it?
It's from the Weinviertel. There we go. Niederösterreich.
Oh, yeah. So Weinviertel is the wine region very close to Vienna. North of... so it's actually one of the warmer regions in Austria because it's northern Austria.
And it is single vineyard, Nussberg, and it's
organic. Nut Hill.
Organic dry farming and hand harvesting.
I think this Nussberg is it's quite a big vineyard because there's a couple of different producers. There's a producer I know that makes Gemischte Satz from this, so it's obviously the name of the hillside. So I don't know how big the vineyard itself is, but I know that another producer also. Yeah, different producers. This one, just checking.
Yeah.
also produces there, so
The vinification was like 18 hours of skin contact, 3 months on fine yeast, classic vinification, neutral yeast, skill tank, whole cluster pressing, no malolactic, blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure what this means.
Bentonite fining, so the wine's been fined, which is more common with sweet wine. It's very unlike, because the reason why you would also fine is because you're trying to... you're just trying to eliminate the chances of it continuing to ferment.
Ah, okay.
So you would filter it and then you would sulfur it. Okay. So it's very difficult to actually produce natural wine. Yeah.
Which I think I discovered to make a list for that dinner years ago. And there's that one, the crazy one. I still have a bottle in the fridge. That's the thing. La Cosa.
Oh, yeah, Cosa the thing. Yeah, yeah, and that's weird because that's also sparkling because it started to re-ferment in bottle. That so that's an example of a wine.
We should do it with, like, maybe because I'm not going to drink it.
Yeah,
It's not one that I open at home so much. Yeah.
But the weird and the wonderful.
The weird, no, that's a good one.
Beauty and the Beast, yeah.
Which is, however, vegan.
Certified.
Certified vegan. Sometimes when I look at this stuff, these are the bits that, obviously, alcohol content, I understand. It's 11.5. Acidity and sugars. So, like, when I look at this, like, 105 grams, what does that mean? Like, does that tell us anything?
Well, it tells
you... an average person.
I mean, it tells you that over 10%... Well, so you said 105 grams. Yeah, so around 10% of it is sugar.
Okay, so that's good to know. And per litre, I see the L there. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And, yeah, to put it into perspective, 100 is not too high. Like,
okay.
But, I mean, the wine I've got is 213 grams of residual sugar. Pedro Jimenez and Tokaj come up to like 400, 450. So they're almost half sugar.
That's banana.
Yeah.
So very sweet. Yeah.
Yes.
But I always think it's good to cover that because sometimes I look at these things and it's like...
Yeah, what's your reference point?
Yeah,
what
does
that figure actually mean in the world one? Yeah.
Cool.
Maybe. So yeah, we should try this.
Yeah, it's a nice easy one. I don't have to use the...
And so, sorry, the name of the wine is Weingut DM Grüne Veltliner Beer and Auslese 2011.
And the Beer and Auslese... Is the late harvest?
Yeah, late harvest. Can usually with noble rot, like botrytis.
So we'll have to see. Something like
noble rot,
not quite as like. Ta da!
But great.
It's awesome. Access. I know. I don't have to use that horrible opener that's somewhere. Schluck.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, quite yellow, isn't it?
It's almost like virgin green.
Yeah.
I mean, but that...
Grüne Veltliner, indeed.
I was going to say, actually, that's like... Because aren't the classic Grüne Veltliner glasses in Austria had the green stems to, like, bring out the green in the Grüne Veltliner?
There's something very odd about the smell of this.
Uh-oh.
No.
Oh.
Can I tell you what it smells like? Can you guess what I'm about to point out?
Let me see, hang on.
It's a smell you should be... I don't know, I shouldn't say that.
I was going to be like, hairspray. No. I don't know. What were you going to say?
Smells a bit like marijuana.
Oh. Oh, it does actually, because there's like
skunky,
a vegetal...
Skunky is the smell.
It's at the bottom with this little green...
Almost like... This is really bad because I don't even smoke weed, but it smells like when people grind it up.
Yeah, it smells like the grinder.
Yeah.
Not a bad smell. Delicious smell.
Yeah.
But actually, the smell is quite nice. There is that, like, touch of something, the lift in the smell at the end that has that green note in it. Because otherwise, it is quite honeyed.
Yeah,
and
I was going to say it is quite honeyed.
Honeyed and, yeah, fruity, but then there is that
citrusy.
Little... I think the lift is nice for a little acidic smell.
I don't think there's any botrytis on this one at all. I would have mentioned in your little homework there as well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't have any of these sort of raisiny notes. Actually, it's quite... This would be great with like a fruit salad, like lighter styles of dessert.
Oh, it's got a bit of a Del Monte canned fruit thing happening.
It does have a little bit of Del Monte. Yeah. With the little... What
the
is
cherries.
It? Yes.
I have a can in the fridge right now, much to Lucas's chagrin.
I still imagine you sort of...
The image I have of you is like,
I don't know, in like a row, you've just got out of the bubble bath, you put on this extravagant robe, you've got fluffy slippers, you've just settled in
it's
with a glass, yeah, of this, and then it's like an old, almost like those old fashioned trifle glass bowls, and you've just put your Del Monte inside with a long cocktail spoon.
Love it.
That is the image I have
of
you. Every time you say
things.
Del Monte, or like your hair with like rollers inside whilst doing it or something, it's really
all
funny.
All of these moments have happened, not necessarily with this wine. I actually quite like this.
Yeah.
This would definitely
be a wine for people that aren't really, that don't have super, super sweet tooths.
No, I think it's very
great
nice.
With something like washed rind cheeses, like Pont l'Evêque, Taleggio, that sort of style where it's not too funky, not too much ammonia in the cheese.
Yeah.
But something where you've got a bit of fat, but not, I wouldn't be going too sweet.
No.
With this.
I think
even a cheesecake, fruit cheesecake, light fruit cheesecake,
like a natural
key lime pie.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I haven't had one of those in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, really nice. It does have a lime cordial kind of... That's part of the...
Yeah, roses, lime cordial,
exactly.
Marijuana and honey. If you like those three things, have this wine. Yeah.
One time when I worked at the bar, some guy who was very drunk that we had to not
it was
only...
was waxy as well.
Yeah. it's pretty interesting. But this guy, yeah, old guy came up to the bar, was too drunk to be served. We had to cut him off and call the cops, actually, because he said he was going to drive home. But at one point, he grabbed the Rose's Lime Cordial off the bar and started chugging it. Because he thought it was booze.
Did he realise whilst chugging it, or did he just, like, go and go at it until it got taken away? Just,
yeah, basically.
Imagine the next day. That literally would be the walk of shame. I'm so sorry for taking your fruit cordials.
Oh, that's so disgusting. But yeah, delicious. Marijuana, lime cordial.
Well, for Mr. Lime Cordial, this could be an alcoholic choice for you that would be a little bit more tasteful.
Can you make a spritz out of a sweet one? Yes, you can make a sweet spritz.
Yeah, you could add this. I would add this to a Prosecco, maybe.
Hmm. Interesting.
You could.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah, I quite like that one.
Yeah.
Nothing bad to say about it.
It's actually quite easy.
Yeah, it's really... For a sweet wine, I could probably drink quite a bit of this.
Yeah, well, I could imagine you knocking off a bottle of that on the balcony in the summer. Or I even over ice. I
feel really sick later, but yeah. Over ice, yeah, totally. Plastic ice cubes.
What's going on with Gwen? She's really hyperactive. She just had too much beer. Yeah. Ah.
Might have a touch of the diabetes. Yeah, delicious. Well, that was a winner.
Mm.
Yeah, nice and easy.
Easy. It's a bit uncomplicated, actually.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say. I don't think it's the most exciting.
No, but I think if you're not usually a sweet wine drinker,
what was the price point of it?
It came off a shelf in our house, so I don't know whether we bought it or...
Someone gifted it to you. So if anybody's watching, Gwen really appreciated the gift.
Delicious. Yeah. We just do the shopping at the... In the basement, I don't know. Lucas was like, yeah, I got a sweet wine here. So I don't know.
It's from the embassy's
private She probably said no. It's probably more like, there is a wine here. I think it works. No, we were watching a video with Arnie yesterday that was so funny. New favorite line.
You mean Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, Arnie. And,
The only Arnie.
The only Arnie.
Oh, sorry.
And he says...
Make it.
He says, my whole body is a weapon. It's my new favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger one. So maybe since you've pulled out...
A gadget.
You should tell the people what the gadget is.
Yeah, so this episode, especially if you're on video, you'll be able to see what we're doing.
Otherwise, you're just going to hear and it sounds like someone's doing Kegels.
Or we're going to the toilet with the door open.
Could be.
Yeah, so this is... I've just used a Corvin. So this is a system where a surgical needle goes through the cork of the wine. There's a tiny little canister of argon gas. So you press a little button, the gas is injected through this tiny needle, and the pressure of the gas going through pushes out the wine out of this little spout at the top. So it displaces the wine, essentially. And then the argon is heavier, because it's inert, it's heavier than oxygen, so it stops the wine from spoiling.
Gotcha.
So for stuff like this, because I didn't know we'd drink a whole bottle, and this isn't imported, so I just thought we'd just Corvin it. Obviously we can just pull the cork if we like it and want to carry on going, but I do this a lot because I live by myself.
That's exactly what I'm thinking, like after work it would be great if I want to open something just for a glass and not have to worry
exactly about. And then also, like, sometimes if I just want to taste some things, because I've got the import business, I use it for showing samples around, because some of the wines I get 120 bottles
You don't want to be like,
I know, I can't afford to like give away 10% of the stock, actually. And it'd be a waste not to give those wines to people. So it's a great way to make that bottle of wine last longer.
Might be my weekend treat for myself.
Yeah. I'll sort you out with that.
Mm. Wow.
So we are drinking 2013 Common Daria from Chakas Winery.
I really like the very religious looking label.
Well, there's a reason why there's the cross.
Taking us to church.
Yeah. Well, it's only the most successful brand in the whole wide world, Catholic Church.
The Catholic Church, yeah.
John Hegarty actually did a big talk on that at PX Plus this summer, where he talked about brands and creating a brand, and he used the model of the Catholic Church being the most successful brand that's ever existed.
100%. Look at the symbol. It's iconic.
The most simple symbol as well. And we're going to put the centerpiece, God's son, on the cross, which is our symbol. Like, it was just like, crazy. And he just broke it all down, and it was so fascinating.
That's very cool.
Because I was like, God, I hadn't even thought about it as a brand, but it is. But
totally.
People are buying into the belief of this, and just piece
we
by
We love
piece.
A symbol as humans, like, we just love symbology all around.
And then there are beautiful places you can go to.
To
be part of that brand, to buy into it. It's like, it was a great... Anyway, tangent. So, Commandaria. So, I was recently in Cyprus.
Yep.
With, which was really nice, with Visit Cyprus, the tourism board, with Arlene. And we did a trip where we were exploring the food and wine culture of Cyprus.
Mm-hmm.
This is the sweet wine from Cyprus. And this has, out of all the wines from Cyprus, this has the best reputation in terms of, well... Not the best reputation, but the more well-known reputation.
Okay. Outside of Cyprus or in Cyprus?
No, globally.
Globally. Okay.
If anybody thinks of Cyprus, if they know anything about wine, they'll know Commandaria. Okay. So, Commandaria. Now we all know.
Now we all know. Yeah.
We're all on the same page.
Yeah, we're good.
And Commandaria, apparently, according to the record, is the oldest sweet wine that exists. Like, there are records that go back for many, many years, hundreds of years.
Wow, cool.
That prove that this is, at least to the record, that Commandaria is the oldest sweet wine in production. And apparently...
Is there a year start?
Well, it says 800 BC.
Jesus Christ, 800 BC. That's a lot,
Yeah, and that's recorded. That's so Pliny, the elder, even wrote about this wine from Cyprus that had been dried out. This is a wine that's... The grapes dried out on mats, So the particular, so in case you see Commandaria, the little bits of information to know about it are the appellation of Commandaria is in the Limassol region, which is in the sort of southern central part of Cyprus, which goes up towards the Troodos Mountains. You say Troodos, but they say Troodos Mountains. It's a little bit difficult for an English person, And it's always from 14 villages... Or it can be from 14 villages, but not outside of that region. The appellation was created in 1990, so it's the oldest sort of appellation in Cyprus. Minimum alcohol has to be 10%, and can go up to 20. So it can be fortified, but it isn't always. This one is unfortified.
Okay.
So it's really up to the producer if they want to fortify
it
or not.
I think it's always nice when there's like stylistic choice.
Exactly. And originally it used to be called Nama. Was the name of the wine.
Okay.
And then because of, what's his name? The Lionheart, Richard the Lionheart, and the Crusades, the Commanders, Commandaria, it all comes from that
era.
So this is all the name Commandaria was.
Hence the cross.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so you see a lot of that on some of the labels, particularly some of the
ancestor carried Robert the Bruce's heart to the Crusades.
Oh, really? Well, there you go. Well, then we're just returning. returning
full
back
circle.
To the bloodline continues. So, what else? Vineyards usually between 500 to 900 meters, which is relatively high, but you need that in Cyprus because it's so incredibly warm.
So it keeps it cools it down.
I mean, some of the vineyards in Cyprus are some of the highest in the whole of Europe.
Oh, wow.
So because otherwise they wouldn't. Exist. Grape varieties are two grape varieties, a white grape called Zinasteri, which is indigenous to Cyprus, and a red grape called Mavro. Mavro is the Greek word for black, but that's the name.
I feel like I've seen that.
You would have seen Casino Mavro before, which is the grape variety that produces the wines in Nasa, but Mavro is not related to that.
God
but so it's those two grapes. I believe that this one is predominantly Zinasteri, I think, with a small amount of Mavro. But
so it has an interesting smell.
213 grams residual sugar. And also, minimum requirement, it has to be aged for 4 years in barrel.
Aha.
So that adds this toasty nuttiness.
So that's what I mean, it is part of what I'm smelling.
Yeah. So the grapes are picked, dried out in the sun. And which also means that it has almost like a sweet sherry quality to it because they're dried out, so they turn into little raisins. That's why it's got a dark colour.
Okay.
Then aged 4 years in barrels.
Is it newer, older oak, or do they have
usually
a choice
older,
then?
But older. I think it depends on the producer. It doesn't. There's no legal.
No.
It
okay, that's what I'm asking.
People, yeah.
There is an interesting like.
It's very nutty. It's
super
honey.
Nutty.
Yeah.
There's something else in there though that's like.
For me, it smells like saffron honey.
Yeah, I can see that. There is something a bit medicinal somewhere in there. That's the thing I'm trying to pinpoint. like a bit medicine cabinet, like iodine. But that could be the colour messing with my head.
It's nice. Every time I go back, there's something else there.
It's funny.
This is my favourite Commandara on the trip, yeah.
It's funny because if I don't swirl it, then it's way more like honeyed and nutty. And then as soon as you give it whatever is, maybe it's just the out, like it's
very intense on the palate.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't gone there yet.
Oh, sorry. This is the sort of dessert wine that would stand up to chocolate.
Wow. Yes.
But it's amazing because the acidity is still really good.
Yeah, like my eyes are like bing. Yep. Also, actually, even before it hit my tongue was already reacting to whatever was happening in there. Like, it's crazy strong. Wow, that's yum.
I love it because it's quite, it almost smells like walnut pith.
The aftertaste
has walnut.
It's got this
slight bitterness to it, which is great.
The aftertaste is definitely walnut.
Walnut, fig, honey. Fig. Almost like caramelized like apricots.
Oh, it's all the stuff I like.
Touch of like chocolate. Like it's, there's just lots of things. There's lots of
even
layers.
Like tobacco. There's like tons of. Wow, this is yummy. I would wear this like a
resiny. It almost has that pine furniture sort of taste to it. Like
if
aroma.
You could make that, because it smells, of course, a bit different than it tastes. But if you could make that taste into a perfume, I would 100% wear it. Wow, it's super nice. Mm-hmm. You are taking us to church. Hallelujah. This is very yummy.
Yeah.
Well, we both got a bit quiet.
Yeah, we're like, it smells like frankincense. It
yeah, that's
like
what I was going to say. There is like, but no, actually, no, there is something interesting about it.
Yeah, do you think it would be quite funny, wouldn't it? If it was just like burning white sage next to me.
Yeah.
But, no,
delicious.
I love this. This
oh,
was
this, is
this
very
yeah.
good.
Yeah, again, like it is a sweeter style, but I think I love that it's got that acidity, that it almost tastes like a really high quality Oloroso.
No,
I would recommend that to somebody that likes that.
I would
because there's still this saltiness there, and I think that's because it's from
Imagine
Cyprus.
We drink this and we eat some salted nuts, caramel nuts on the side.
Yeah,
have like
totally
just some little sweet snacks and some salty snacks.
Or like Asian pork curries with spice.
Oh yeah, yum.
Like
yeah,
it would be really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah,
blue cheese,
even drink this
blue cheese, chocolate, all those things that are a little bit difficult sometimes to pair with tartar tan even. But the more I go back to it, I find sweeter things. There's almost like this tonka bean sort of note on the nose,
I
really where
it's
got
it's
this
like
sweet, savory
perfume. Yeah, but the saltiness. You're right. There is that little like
salinity on the finish.
Yeah, that's really nice. Because I think otherwise, without some of that saltiness, maybe it would be too, or without the acidity and the saltiness, then it would just be too much. But I could definitely drink a couple glasses of this. Very yum. Oh, delicious. That's good.
So that's sort of the other end of the spectrum, and I think sort of going into the Christmas period, really interesting for people to look out for things that are a little bit lesser known, because I think everybody goes for Sauternes, maybe Montbazillac,
Côte de Loire. But those are also just easier to find, because every place, if they're only going to stock one or two sweet wines because they're out of fashion, then usually I find Sauternes everywhere.
Yeah.
They're just like, it's the easy.
And actually, probably for the same amount of price, a lot less, you'd be able to get something on the lighter, fresher side here, if you don't have a super sweet tooth, and look out for Commandara. I know
this would be great with Christmas pudding or like Christmas cake.
This would
cake,
be incredible
like,
with Christmas. A mince pie.
Oh, yeah.
Be great.
I mean, I love all those Christmas desserts.
Mince pie with some clotted cream on top.
And then just like plum pudding and.
Yeah, be really good. Custard. So I know, I don't know. We'll have to find out where this is sold in Berlin, but I know that the Commandara is definitely in the UK.
I'm sure you can find this somewhere, this one.
I know that Berry Brothers and Rudd distribute a Commandara from Kieperunta, a different producer. This is better than that, but...
Delicious. This is a good present for your mum.
Yes.
Or your nan.
Yeah, or for yourself.
This is a great present. But it just makes a cute present because it's something that someone wouldn't buy for themselves necessarily, but I think would be a great sort of surprise.
Yeah.
Delicious. Impress your friends. Get a bottle of this.
Save that for later.
I know. I'm still trying to figure out what that other thing is that I'm...
Well, we would love to hear about what you're drinking, what you're pairing with your Christmas pudding, with your pies.
What are you eating for Christmas pudding?
Yeah. If you want any other recommendations for Christmas wines, for sweet wines, just drop us a line. We'll try and help.
We're definitely not going to revisit Glühwein this year because it was a horrible... Last year was not that
Gwen rich. Fucked it up, basically.
I wasn't the only one. But this was a... Who needs Glühwein when you have delicious sweet wines? So, yeah, what are you having for Christmas dinner, or what are you thinking about, or for the puddings and whatnot?
Yeah, so ask us any questions that you have. We'd love to hear them. And just remember, if you are tuning in on video, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you're not, check us out on YouTube, and you can find us on all of the audio platforms.
We're going to call this episode Stripes, because we're both in stripes
today. Yeah,
vertical and horizontal.
Yes. Where are the... Oh, yeah, yeah. Jesus Christ. Wrap it up. And just remember that you can also check us out, and if you're interested in any tote bags, we have them for sale.
So you can get those at juice.show, where you can pick up that, and...
We're on Instagram at...
juice.podcast, and on Twitter at...
juice_podcast. My God, I can't believe I forgot
we're
that.
We're making a mess today. Otherwise... We're high on sweet wine.
Yeah, sorry.
We're not only drunk, we're having a sugar high.
We are.
It's a double.
Yes.
So you can find us. Otherwise, all the links are below in the video, and you can find it in the notes on your audio.
Thanks for tuning in.
Yes. Until next time. Cheers.